All right, excellent. Chris?
Yes?
Is it possible that I just turned this off?
Yes, it is very possible.
Could you turn it back on? Please talk amongst yourselves while Chris does this. All right. There we are. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. My apologies, Zoomers. There, now we're set. Now we're set. Very good. All right. This morning, I want to share with you a few things out of this dinner that Jesus and Lazarus and Mary and Martha were at. Very wonderful occasion. And I want to concentrate on the sister of Lazarus, Mary, although he had two sisters, Mary and Martha, concentrate on her, and also show us how what Mary did delivers us from evil. We'll look at the last petition of the Lord's Prayer here in Lent, and how that makes room for Jesus in our lives. So there's things we see Mary doing that is part of the deliverance from evil. So back in my days in seminary, we made, of course, a lot of good friends. And one of our friends, a married couple, they lived through the fire escape. We were up on the fifth floor, the top floor, and the fire escape joined both buildings. And so you could go back and forth on the fire escape. It was very easy. And one day, our friend comes over through the fire escape and wants to ask me a question. Now, he was raised Jewish. And he said, when I was being raised, the one verse we had to memorize and say all the time was, be holy as I am holy. And now I have to preach on that this coming Sunday. And, you know, preaching for seminarians is, well, angst. You could say angst covers it, but there's all kinds of stuff that we don't need to go into now. Nonetheless, he was wondering, what am I going to say about be holy as I am holy? It was from my childhood. It was kind of drummed in me. I don't know what to say. What would you say? And, you know, I had no idea, of course. And what he wanted was to see if God had given me anything about that particular verse that he could borrow. And I'm fine with that. There is a shortcoming with that, and that's what I want to point to this morning. God had something for him there that wasn't for me. And if I had something, he could have borrowed it, but it wouldn't have been his. It wouldn't have been what God gave him. And what God gave him would have been something very precious and very powerful and very merciful and very good. What worked for me in this case might not have worked, but we're still good friends, still are. Talked to him this week, in fact. He now lives in Texas. And what is underlined here in this, and we'll see it with Mary, is that God has things for you personally, and they come in your personal time with God. And that's where you get it. And God has things for you that will not be for me or anybody else. It's yours. It's between you and God. It might be similar to what God gives to other people. And you might recognize when God gives something to someone else because you're used to God giving you things and you can picture what that dynamic is like. But it's still yours when God gives it to you. Now, some of that will be understanding and wisdom. When you're spending time with God, just you might receive understanding or wisdom or healing or some kind of refreshing or whatever it might be. Or God might even give you something to which you're asked to return in worship. God might say, that which I gave you, give it all back to me, which is what stewardship is about. And it's yours that you give back to God, or it's yours that you employ in your life that God gave you in the first place. All these things fit you and are for you. And it's not that you would hold anything back from anyone else. Of course you wouldn't. It's just that God may have something for the other ones that's just for them. And what you don't want is for them to miss that because they've got something from you. The best of both worlds would be that they receive something from you and from God and work it all together. That'd be great. But nonetheless, we see this with Mary during the special dinner they held for Jesus very shortly after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Sounds like a great occasion for a celebration to me. And there they were. They all get back together. And they're at Lazarus's house. And they're just doing what they do. You know, Mary is offering to Jesus in worship what Jesus gave her to offer. Jesus gave her something that was just for her. And she offered it back to him. And we can see that in that act and that dynamic in her life, there was deliverance from evil. See, what's underlying all of this is deliverance from evil happens in worship. A life of worship gives a life of deliverance from evil. Now, I'm not saying a life of worship gives you safety from suffering, because you might suffer, or something might go wrong, or you still might do something for which there will be consequences. But evil, there's deliverance from evil that comes from worship. Okay, stay with me. See how this goes. There they are at Lazarus' house. Jesus is there. It's the celebration, of course. And everyone was doing what they usually do. Martha was serving. You remember Martha's the one who went around making sure everything was in its place and nothing was out of order and they didn't do it the same way last time and all kinds of stuff like that. And Lazarus was just sticking close to Jesus, which, I don't know, if Jesus raised me from the dead, that's what I would be doing too. And then Mary is just openly showing her love for Jesus. And in this case, she got this pound of nard, this is an oil, very expensive oil, and poured it all over his feet. And then wiped his feet with her hair. It, just an extravagant act of worship that was personal. I don't know of any church that has that in their liturgy these days, but you know, then that was an extravagant act of worship. And what does that represent? Oil, sometimes, there's other things it represents, but sometimes it represents the time you have with Jesus. The time where the only thing you are doing is loving Jesus. However that works for you, just sitting there telling Jesus you love him. And that's all that's done. No plans, no thinking, how am I going to get this done? You haven't brought out your prayer list. It's just you telling Jesus you love him. That's oil. And that's oil that you have from that time. And you can offer it back to him. However Jesus prompts you to do it, you could use it, but it's yours. And because it's your personal time with Jesus and your way of telling Jesus that you love him, the oil that you have is yours. And it's for you. And it's the oil that's about you and fills you. Or whatever else you think about you and your time with Jesus. It's more than the time we spend getting ready for the time we worship Jesus. So for example, we're all here to worship Jesus today, right? Okay, thank you for saying yes. Okay, we're all here to worship Jesus today. The time you spent planning when you were going to get up, what you were going to wear, what you were going to eat to get before you got here, what you may have had to do when you got here, if you were had a task during worship today, you might have been preparing for that in some manner. The band rehearsed. Maybe if you were reading, you looked over a reading or whatever it may be. All of that is preparation time. It counts. It's important. It's diligent. It's something that you do, but it is not the time that you spend just telling Jesus that you love him. That's other than the preparation that you do for worship. Kind of by definition, it is just telling Jesus that you love him. That's what that time is. Nothing else involved. Very, very powerful and important. So how do we do that? Well, I've already given you the main way. You just tell Jesus that you love him. And you can do that in all kinds of ways. Maybe first thing in the morning, that's what you do. Maybe before your feet hit the floor, getting out of bed, that's what you do. Maybe it's the first thing you put your thoughts to and your mind to, just telling Jesus that you love him. Or it goes on all other times when you're eating, if you're out taking a walk, if you're driving somewhere, you turn off the radio and you tell Jesus that you love him all the way there. All different other kinds of times. There's a time that I use among others that I wanted to share with you. Sometimes I'll have a thought about something that I did in the past that I regret or I'm ashamed of or whatever it might be. And the temptation would be to go into self-condemnation. Well, why did I do that? Well, what was I thinking? All that. But what I do, I don't let myself go there. And when that memory comes, I say, Jesus, I love you. And, I mean, nobody knows that. I don't share that memory with anybody. You know, even if there's people around, I don't say, hey, you wouldn't believe what just came into my mind about what I did when I was 22. You just wouldn't believe it. I don't do that. It can't. Right there, I stop and I say, I love you, Jesus. That brings me out of condemnation, out of beating myself up, and into the love and grace of God, which is what Jesus wants for me to have. I'm delivered from the evil of condemnation. And it's not that I don't say, well, condemnation, I rebuke you or anything like that. It's, I love you, Jesus. It is time, just loving Jesus, that delivers us from evil. It is pouring your love on Jesus in whatever way without worrying if you're making a mistake about how it's going. Am I doing this correctly? Yes, you are. That delivers you from evil. That's where you get the oil that carries you through everything. Let me give you another example at the risk of briefly introducing another Bible story. Do you remember the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish? They were there at the wedding, and the bridegroom was late. Jesus never said why, but the bridegroom was late, and it's getting dark. And the 5 foolish virgins only had enough oil for the moment, the 10 wise ones had a lot of extra oil. And the five said to the five foolish said to the five wise, sell us some of your oil. And they said, no, this is ours. Now that sounds harsh on the surface, except if you remember, oil represents the personal time you spend with Jesus and what you get from that. And the five foolish virgins spent enough time preparing for the event. The five wise prepared for the event plus spent time just loving God. And they had what they got that fit them for that. Preparing is excellent, but there's also just the time of loving God. Okay. Now let's compare Judas, who's also here. He sees Mary extravagantly loving Jesus, pouring out this expensive oil all over his feet, doing this act of worship, and says, hey, you shouldn't do that. In fact, you should have taken your money and given it to me so that we could give it to the poor. To which John, knowing what Judas was like, says, what he really is a thief, and he wanted to take money that was given to the 12. And you remember later, which from this incident is just a couple of days later in the week, at the Last Supper, it says Satan entered Judas. There was no deliverance from evil for Judas. Mary just had that as a matter of course, that deliverance from evil. From just spending time telling Jesus that she loves him. The whole house was filled with the aroma of the love between Mary and Jesus. Judas wanted to control Mary's decisions and didn't want to go any further in telling Jesus that he just loved him. Well, I think you get the idea. Mary used her oil and was delivered from evil. Judas used only what he received from Jesus for the task of being the treasurer of the 12. Didn't do anything to pour his love on Jesus. Psalm 91:14, for those of you taking notes. The Lord says this of David, because he is bound to me in love, therefore I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Remember in the scriptures, the name of someone is the full depiction of who they are and their character. And it says here that David knows the name of God. You get to know the name of God by spending time with God saying, you're the one I love. And you can see from that verse, that's where the deliverance comes. So my question to you today is this. How can you spend more time with God just loving him? Putting aside the tasks, the petitions, everything else, just loving God. Now, if that does not immediately come to mind, my suggestion is that you ask God, what do you think is a good way for you and I to be together for that? Just so I could be with you to tell you how much I love you. What's a great way to do that? And then keep it going. Keep it going all the time. Let that be the mark of your life. Just how deeply you love Jesus. Would you please stand? Lord, we thank you that you love us and that we love you because you first loved us. We ask now that you would draw us to the place where we are with you, where we can pour our love upon you just as you do upon us. And we ask that for the glory of your name today. Amen.